Welcome everyone. Shana Tova. Shana Tova.
Shana Tova.
Shana Tova means a good year. A good year. And so we wish each other wishes for a good year. But I've never seen a Rosh Hashanah card that says good year. Unless it came from a tire company that wanted me to get all four on a big sale. Instead, all of our cards always say, Shana Tova, Happy New Year. A new year. It's probably the most overused word in all of America. We see it on advertisements constantly. We see it on boxes of cereal. We see it on every product that comes out, new, new, new. Even old products are filled with the words new. The most heard word on all of Madison Avenue. And yet we still say, Shana Tova, Happy New Year. Personally, I want you to know that the old year, last year, was good enough for me. I'm happy with it. And I would like it to stay. It's been a year which I've been blessed with good health. My doctors tell me I'm fine. I feel fine. Everything seems good. My children, Kanai Nahara, it's been a fabulous year. One daughter of mine was just admitted to Georgia Institute of Technology. She wants to study to be an engineer. And she was accepted. Another one was on the U.S. volleyball team to Israel, playing in the Maccabiah. And I went to watch every game. Another daughter of mine just last week completed Ironman. 2.5 miles of a swim, 26 miles of running, and 112 miles on a bicycle, and no time in between. Another daughter moved back to California, and she has a boyfriend, and his last name is Cohen. And my eldest daughter, Rachel, continues to live such a fulfilling spiritual life. She runs Spielberg's Jewish Charitable Foundation for 16 years now. And she can't think of anything else she would like to do besides having more time with her children, my grandchildren. Kanai Nahara, 5th grade and 1st grade. Work? I love it. I am so happy in what I do, and with whom I do it, you have no idea. I make a difference in people's lives. And it makes me feel that my life makes a difference. And I love the people whose difference I make in their lives. I'm a very, very happy camper. And I live in San Francisco, a city that's filled with culture, beauty, variety. This is one of the greatest cities in the world. And I'm in a very loving relationship. I'm taking very good care of someone who is taking very good care of me. I'm a white American male Jew in the prime of my life. I'm employed, I'm healthy, I live in San Francisco, and I'm loved. What more should I ask? Why would I want the world to change? Why would I want this life to change? Why would I want a new year? I get Rosh Hashanah cards from congregants and friends from all over the country, and some even from the world now that there's email. They're all wishing me a new year. But for myself, I want to stay in the old year. I want to be my old self. What I want is a new world. I want a new world. Hayom Harat Olam, we're going to say repeatedly tomorrow in the services, announcing that this is the anniversary of the birth of the world. And our tradition tells us, HaMechadesh B'Devot B'chol Yom Tamid, every single day is an opportunity to create the world anew. To have a new world. And that's what I want. I want a new world. I want a world without a 13-year-old boy being shot in the head in Oakland. I want a world without tens of thousands of women being raped in the Congo. I want a world without Turkey denying that they ever committed a genocide against the Armenians. I want a world without tsunamis and earthquakes and floods. I want a world without Katrina victims still being victims. I want a world where Pakistani children who are suffering from a flood will have clean water. I want a world without American troops dying in Afghanistan. I want a world without the Taliban regaining control of the strongholds. I want a world without Haitians begging for promises that have still not been fulfilled. I want a world without increasing unemployment. I want a world where children are not kidnapped in shopping malls. I want a world without street violence. I want a world without children becoming obese. I want a world without disease that strikes good people. I want a world without airline crashes that explode people's dreams. I want a world without murder in Mexico and without drug farms in Colombia and without China trying to devour Tibet. I want a world where young adults are not addicted to drugs and alcohol. I want a world without veterans being homeless. I want a world without foreclosures on families because they couldn't pay their hospital bills and the mortgage. I want a world without retirees being bilked out of their life savings. I want a world where Israelis are not fearful of buses and markets. I want a world without Sderot looking constantly for the sound of rockets. And I want a world without Israeli politicians continuously negotiating for 17 years and still not finding peace. I want a world without Europe forgetting the effect of Jew hatred 70 years ago. And still rising cries about Jews and Israelis. I want a new world. I'll stay the same, but I want a new world. Hayom Arat Olam. This is the opportunity for the world to be created again. So now let it begin. Let this new year be a new world, a new year for a new world. But you and I know that that's not likely to happen. To the forces of nature, and to drug lords, and to suicide bombers, all this is Wednesday evening, September the 8th, 2010, just another night. You see, they don't know that it's the anniversary of creation. They don't know that the world should be created anew. So Oakland and Manila and Bogota and Kabul and Port-au-Prince and Gaza will in all likelihood go on just like last year. Oy vey. What are we to do? Our tradition says, pray. Why? Is anyone listening? Is anyone who will or can do something listening? For so many of our people, that assumption went down the tube between the years 1939 and 1945. Tevye turned to God with his famous song of Make Me a Rich Man at the end of the 19th century. I'm pretty certain that if he was singing at the end of the 20th century, it would be a different song. I think Tevye, at the end of this last century, would have become an agnostic, if not an atheist. I have a friend, a rabbi. Right, so many of my friends are rabbis. Right, that's something I should change. So I have this friend who's a rabbi, and he really, really climbed that ladder. He became the dean of the Reconstructionist Rabbinical College in Philadelphia. I know most people are still not clear what's Reconstructionist Judaism, but one thing's for sure, they don't believe that God is the kind of a figure or a being that listens to prayers and makes changes. And this particular dean of the Reconstructionist Rabbinical College davens every Shabbat in an Orthodox synagogue. So one of his other friends said to him, "Benjamin, how can you daven in an Orthodox shul? You don't believe that you can talk to God." And he said, "I don't go to shul to talk to God. Goldstein goes to shul to talk to God. I go to shul to talk to Goldstein." So, what I want to say on the eve of this Rosh Hashanah, when we're about to spend 3 whole days and a couple of evenings in the synagogue, I want to suggest that you come to shul to talk not to God, but to yourself. 3 days of prayers. If you were talking to God, one day should be enough. But if we're talking to ourselves, we need a lot of repetition. You see that that's what happens with ads in newspapers and on the New York subway system and in emails. They pound you with the same message again and again and again and again and again and again. Can you imagine all the money they spent on these advertisements in football games, and yet every time they have a break, they show you exactly the same ad? They're trying to drill it into our heads. They want it to sink in. And so if we're going to spend all this time in shul praying to someone, we have to pray to ourselves so that it'll sink in. And what should we be telling ourselves for 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Kol Nidre night, Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah? What should we be telling ourselves? Well, we better find out, or else we'll just be sitting here for some vague sense of obligation. I'm not saying that there's nothing good about fulfilling one's obligations. We have an obligation to our people, to the past, to our parents, to our children. But should it take so long to fulfill this obligation? So many days, so many prayers. When I was in Southeast Asia during the war in Vietnam, I remember Buddhists who came from Burma. They had a prayer wheel. It was a bronze cylinder with a chain and a little ball at the end, and inside a prayer was written, and they would turn the prayer wheel around and around and around, and every time that little ball began to swing the chain around, it was as if they said the prayer again and again. Why were they doing that? Maybe it was their way of helping to get into a trance or to establish calm. But why should we keep praying again and again all these days? And my friends, I'll tell you why. Because what we're supposed to be doing in shul is educating ourselves to Jewish and divine godly values. When we pray for peace and kindness and compassion and mercy and forgiveness from the Almighty, we are affirming the divinity of peace, kindness, compassion, mercy, and forgiveness. We're saying that these things are good, and that war and violence and greed and selfishness are evil. And what's good is godly. What's evil is the absence of God. I spent a portion of this past summer in Berlin. And I was surrounded in a city where people had, two generations ago, affirmed evil values. They again and again, like the Buddhist prayer wheel, reiterated messages of hate, of violence, of otherness. They were filled with propaganda saying again and again, we are not them. We deserve alles, they deserve nothing. Jews, gypsies, Slavs, Russians, they're not our enemy. They are the world's enemy. They are life's enemy. We must exterminate them. And they repeated it again and again and again because that was the values that they were living by. Can you imagine if they had faced their Führer after repeating again and again B'Tselem Elokim Bara Olam that every single human being is created in the image of God? Can you imagine what would happen if they spent 3 days in shul every year saying El Rachum Echanun, that God is filled with compassion and mercy and kindness and forgiveness? Can you imagine the impact if they would have listened on a Yom Kippur to Amos's and Isaiah's message to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and provide shelter for the homeless? Would they have built ghetto walls? What we're doing in shul is we are reiterating our values, our concern for the poor, for the widow, for the orphan, for the stranger. We say it every single day, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what we're doing. That's whom we're praying to. Not to God, we're talking to ourselves. When others pray for victory, they're saying, let me conquer my compassion so I can pull the trigger. When we pray to God for love, we're saying, let me conquer my anger. Even let me conquer the truth, so that I can be merciful and compassionate. And so, this is my message for these high holy days. Don't pray to God. Open the prayer book, the new Machzor, and pray to yourself. Pray that you will be changed by your prayers. Pray that the new year will be one that you become godly. Pray that you will no longer depend upon divine miracles to fix the world. Pray that you will live by your dreams. Pray that you will do what you wanted God to do. And I promise, God will hear those prayers. God will smile down upon us with a tear in her eye, a smile on her lips, and a lot of nachas in God's heart. Because only we can make the new year a new world.